So all the preaching of the sin and the setting up of ordinances and traditions of men and law, all you're doing is confounding and causing problem and putting burdens on the people who do have a sincere heart. You don't have to tell them. The Spirit of God lives in them. He is the one that convicts them of the things that they do wrong. He's the one that deals with them about it. He's the one that wrote down for us to confess it when we do something wrong. He's the one, but he also said, hey, Jesus has taken care of it once and for all. I'm getting ahead. I was saying, but look at him. That's where we keep your eyes on him. You couldn't do it. You can't do it. You won't ever do it. Tell the people who are telling you that to be quiet, right? Just go away. That's the 22nd verse. Draw near with sincere hearts and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You can't do anything about the people who are not sincere of heart. You can just make sure about yours. And in all of my life, I don't know that maybe a handful of people, that at least the times that I was around them, they seemed to have a full assurance. Most of us have moments in our lives where our full assurance gets a bit shaky. I'm not going to see hands. I know who you are. It's all of us, right? Because we hit those times where the enemy comes and goes, man, you're not even born again. How could you know God? Look at the naughtiness of yourself. Look what you have done. How could you be saved? You've been believing God for that particular thing in your body for 8 years. And I mean, you don't even know God. He's not going to listen to you after all. He don't hear the prayer of sinners. I mean, those things go on. And sometimes, even though we quench those fiery darts with the shield of faith, sometimes one of them hits. And we have those moments where we do literally stop and go, maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe I'm really not who I think I am supposed to be. But you have to draw before him, coming to him with sincere hearts and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Again, that's a covenant term, the sprinkling, the washing of the water by the word. That's the way Paul put it in 1 Corinthians. Washing of the water by the word of God so that we are without spot. That's sin. Any sign of aging or any other blemish, that's your youth being renewed. That's what the life of God, the vitality in you will do. And you stay there. Sprinkled, washed, cleansed. Just like that terminology being used, same thing Moses did when he would cleanse the instruments of the temple, sprinkling them with the hyssop and the water, right? And that's what Ezekiel said in prophesying about these things, that he will wash them with water and put a new heart in them. You have to come with the full assurance of faith. You have to stand firm in believing. You're standing on something that may not look like it to you, especially at the moment, but the evidence of the Word of God. I keep plugging Gary's song. I did all last week. You got to take his word for it. You have to say, you said it. You haven't ever seen, well, most of you, I don't think, seen Jesus. You sure didn't see him that day when he gave his body and the blood was spilled that caused your righteousness. Okay? We didn't see him in the pit of hell or being risen up from the dead. We describe it. We see it with our mind. We weren't actually physically there. It takes faith. You have to say, your word says that this is the way it is. I choose to believe that this is the way it is. I'm sprinkled from an evil conscience. I'm not going there anymore. And when you do that, the enemy will pitch a fit, because you have just taken away the only stick he can beat you with. And it is, in my opinion, most horrible, disappointing, what do you want to call it? Discomforting, that the people, the instrument that the enemy has used to wield this stick, has so often just been religion in the name of Christianity. Because somehow we can't just say, Jesus has set you free, you're free from the bondage of a sin consciousness. Stand firm, don't go back there. Be at liberty. Why is this, all of this, so important? I mean, you know, okay, we're going to be at liberty. Hallelujah. I like being free, right? And I'm honoring Jesus because I'm saying I believe what you said. I believe what the inspiration of the Spirit of God caused these men to write down. I believe that you have almost miraculously preserved it so that we can read it. And the Spirit of God, as our teacher and our comforter, will reveal these things to us. And so this is a wonderful thing. And then the next thing, of course, would be to do what he said, to proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all of the inhabitants thereof. I've reached a point to where I almost feel like that's like, what's that old expression? New lease on life, you know? Like, I'm so focused at this point on these things. It's like when you first came to know Jesus, you wanted to tell everybody about Jesus, right? Well, maybe you didn't, okay? But some of you are nodding your head. Yeah. When you reach this point, I'll just talk about me. Reaching this point in my life and looking around and seeing the revelation of it more and more and more and more and more, I just want to go around and tell everybody, hey, Jesus has set you free.